I've been anxious to be here today. I mean, I was looking forward to Sunday service because what he's telling me is something I need to hear. And I want to be a first partaker of the fruit. The husbandman should be the first partaker of the fruit. What he wants to do in us and for us and through us is to make us a testimony to his faithfulness to the world about us, and not just the world, but Christians who haven't discovered what God can and will actually do to turn everything around in their life. No matter how impossible it may seem, improbable it may be, no matter how tangled up everything can become in our life, amen, God is able and he's willing. If he's able and not willing, it wouldn't do us a bit of good. Just about everybody gives him the able part. God is able. We used to sing it, God is able, and nothing is impossible with God. Amen. And we need it reiterated, but that's not where we really find what we're looking for in his ability to do it, but in his willingness to do it. Amen. Amen. And I can tell you right now, I have things in my life that have been like a brick wall. I don't know how better to illustrate it, amen, than to just, there are things that I have prayed for that have happened just like that. There have been, and here's what really gets me sometimes. There's things I've prayed for other people for that happened like that. And there's things I've prayed for me for that didn't happen like that. And then I search my heart and I search my life and I say, what's this wall right here? Now, I do know there's an enemy that comes against me. The devil is always going to try to thwart God's purpose in our life. And he'll try to discourage us. What do you do when you hit a wall? You need God to do something that only God can do. Jericho's walls didn't come down because they scaled those walls or found a way to batter down those walls with a battering ram. They came down because God brought them down. And when they came down, the Bible said they didn't start cracking. They didn't go through some earthquake to shake them. There was no earthquake that shook them until they fell. But when they shouted, after they walked around in obedience to God by faith, and when they, on that seventh time around, amen, he told them to shout, for God has given you the city. And to shout when the wall is defying you, standing there just as defiant as it ever was on that seventh time around. And God says, I want you to shout with the wall standing. And I can imagine those people on the wall that had kept them safe from many that had come up to take their city were laughing like hyenas at these crazy covenant Jews walking around in circles carrying their box with them, the gopher wood box with the golden lid. Amen. Because they didn't see no God with them. They didn't see no way they would ever get into their city. They felt extraordinarily safe. But on the seventh time around, they were given the command to shout for God. Now listen, you can have a Holy Ghost hissy today and still doubt. It wasn't that their faith just exploded. Their faith was being carried out in something practical and tangible. They just walked around, hallelujah, like he told them. But when he told them to shout, that was the ultimate test. To shout after you get the victory is common. Everybody does it. You don't need faith, and you don't need to overcome doubt to do that. But to shout when you see no way out. Pastor, bust another rhyme. to shout when you see no way out. Shout victory when you've been butting your head against a brick wall. That's going to take a faith that God, though he seemed distant, though he seemed deaf, because it doesn't seem like he's listening, he is not distant, he is not deaf. Here's your problem and mine. He's sovereign. You know what that means? Nobody tells him what to do or when to do it. Amen. The Bible said of his sovereignty, he does what he pleases. Yeah. And you can't rush him. That's why I said, you need patience. I don't need you to push me or try to persuade me. I need you to be patient and know that if there's a brick wall there, there is a purpose in it. Didn't the Bible say he would open a door and no man can shut it? Amen. And he will shut a door. I don't like that part. Amen. That's where I need patience and we need patience. He will shut a door and no man can open it. Amen. There's things that I believe because I want to see souls come to Christ. Listen, if we had a revival here right now, we couldn't contain it. We'd have to do something for space. One time we had people sitting in the kitchen just out of our little group when they all showed up. Amen? In our meeting area. But there's some walls. Pamela's healing. There's a wall right there. I haven't given up on her healing. And I'm encouraging her not to give up on her healing. Because when you give up, you give place to the devil. And he'll take advantage of that. So pray for her to be encouraged in this very thing. So I'm going to read you some scripture today. Let me ask this. I need a turnaround. I need a turnaround. There are things in my life that only God can address. I can't figure it out. I can't work it out. I can't make it change. But God can. And God will. And somehow or another, I believe we're in a time, and I don't want to do like some people, this is your day of this and that, and just give you false hope. I want you to know that God does work in times. He works in seasons in our life. That's why we need patience, that after we've done the will of God and trusting him, amen, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. It'll be just like the Jericho walls when they come down. Amen. The Bible said when they shouted, and I looked up that word shout, it said to give an ear-piercing sound. They had to mean it. They couldn't just say, hallelujah. You know, the sixth time around, nothing's happening. I don't know why he has us out here. Well, of course we don't know. We can't. You know what the Bible said about him? The Bible said, have you not heard and do you not know? There is no searching of his understanding. You can't figure God out. You can't think. You can't do it. And that makes it difficult sometimes because I don't know what he's up to. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why this or why that. But I know him. And I know he loves me. And I know that because he loves me and because he has purposes for every one of us, that all things, even that dead end seem like, amen, hallelujah, all things work together for good to them that love him. By the way, if I keep beating my head against that wall, I'm going to wear myself out. Amen. I'm going to get knots on my head. And I'm not going, the wall will not move because Robert A. Venable used his faith to knock it down. I'm not a hammerhead. There's a shark named that. You're not either. Your head will give out before the wall gives up. But when God, by his Spirit, brought down that wall, the Bible said it fell down flat. Boom! They shouted, boom! God came through. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, to bring us to a place where we can begin to claim victory before we see victory, and give Him praise for victory before, with the wall defying us. I believe that's where He's trying to bring us, wants to bring us. I want to give you some scripture and see what happens when we operate in a faith when we're up against a wall. Before I read it, because I want to get this out. I asked Jimmy about that. I've been intrigued by David's mighty men of valor. Benaniah was one of those guys, I believe. Anyway, one of them jumped down in a pit with a lion, killed it. The other one went through a whole troop of people and killed them. David wasn't the only man with the anointing on him. A lot of others, but they came to David when he was in the cave of Adullam. And they went in, and he told them about the God who is with whom nothing is impossible, the God who was with him when he did his exploits. And they had faith, like David had, in this faithful God and in the covenant he had with them. And they came out, and I'm going to tell you, one day when we have time, we'll read about all of David's mighty men. Yeah. Because that anointing was not unique to David. Faith was not just something he could have, but everyone could manifest. And they went out and did the exploits, and David didn't do anything greater. There might have been more on the line concerning who served who, but as far as slaying a giant, that wasn't no bigger deal than what these boys did that came out of that cave after they spent some time listening to David, who had the anointing. You know what God wants to do? He wants to work in our lives, mine and yours, in such a way that people will come, because people have the same brick walls that we hit. People have the same needs that only God can address. And if God doesn't turn it around, it's going to keep going the way it's going. But when He turns it around, everything is going to change. That's why there's never been a revival in the history of the church without joyous singing. None of it. Historically, I'm not talking about singing. I'm not talking about emotion. I'm talking about the genuine joy of the Lord welling up in praises to His name. Amen. Now, you did a good job today, and I sung with you. But listen, when that kind of singing that is a result of God turning something so around that we just can't help but praise Him, can't help but give Him glory, can't help but emote, yeah, but it's more than that. It is a spiritual release of joy. Hallelujah. But unless we get a turnaround, we'll carry the weight of what needs to be turned around like a burden. We will not cast it on Him. We'll not know the freedom. We'll not receive the promise. And nobody will care that we got a bumper sticker that says, Jesus is the answer. But they'll care if they see the answer in us. Then they'll care. And God wants us to be ambassadors, not just because we know the truth, but that we're living out a truth. People are hurting in this world. And if they find out that God is more than able, He is willing, and they see it in us. The cave of Adullam, they went in. And the Bible said all them that were discouraged, depressed, under oppression. Now here's one for me and you. I believe most of us can relate with. You may not be. Mike isn't here. He said, I'll be completely out of debt in 6 months. Did you want to slap him? That's bragging, isn't it? He needs slapping down. Lord, get him good. No, thank God he used wisdom. Thank God there's wisdom involved here. But there's also, you know, when you need a set of tires to get to work and you don't have money to buy them, you're either going to lose your job or use that card. Now, I wish we could just say, Lord, look here, I'm going to use this card if you don't come through. But that's not how that works. Generally speaking, before we even think about God, we slap down the card. I did, because I need to go to work. Well, you should pay cash for everything. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Give me a wheelbarrow load of cash, and I guarantee you I will not use that card. I simply don't have one of those. There's no money tree in my backyard. How about your backyard? Money tree? No. Well, there's a little word in here, and all that oppression and people that were discouraged. Why did they come to hear David in a cave? Lord in heaven, what a church. He's in a cave, and they come to seek him out in the cave to hear. Didn't it say he lifted me from the miry clay? Yeah. He put my feet upon a rock. Yeah. Hallelujah. The humble shall hear about it. Well, they heard, and this word humble is not the virtue of humility. This word humble was different. It was the word crushed by life. People that were humble because they were crushed by life. My soul was humble within me, Jeremiah said, when he saw Israel going into captivity after he preached a lifetime and no one listened. My soul is crushed. But this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. Great is thy faithfulness, thy mercies are new every morning. Thank God for this morning, his mercies were new. Hallelujah. Everyone crushed by life. Everyone in debt. Look what God did for King David. Look how God restored him after his great sin. There's hope for me. Look how God restored his kingdom to him. Look what God can do when we repent and put our trust in him. And they came to hear David. And what they heard changed them. Amen. They had hope when they came in the cave of Adullam. They didn't come out the way they came in. I'd like to be able to say, if you exposed to the true, inerrant, eternal Word of God and it's preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit so it gets past your head down into your heart, you won't leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. Something is going to change. Because if the seed of the Word is sown by the Holy Spirit, preached under the anointing, sown by the Spirit into the heart, it will bring forth fruit. 30. 60. Can I get 100? Anybody? Come on. 100-fold. Something has got to change. It won't stay the same. And when faith comes alive in us and hope and trust, God is able to turn it around. And when he does, everything changes. There's a four-letter word in here. It's not a bad word, but it is a bad word. In fact, it's not a cuss word. Let's put it that way. You want to know what the bad word is? D-E-B-T? Debt. Can you, all this oppression, all of this, you know, threat of the Philistines and all the other things they needed help with and healing physically, but all those that were in debt. Because if they were in debt, they were a bond slave to who they were indebted to. Now, the Bible tells me something that I have failed in my life. I don't know if you have in yours, because once you have to use the card, and you, oh, by the way, they'll send you cards. They send my son cards, and he couldn't, if he gets a hold of a card. And they still send me cards, and I put them over to the side. I said, "Dear Lord, I got enough cards now to play poker. I could play solitaire with credit cards." How many of you need to play solitaire card with playing cards? You don't know nothing about paying cards. You don't gamble or nothing like that. No, it's solitaire. All those in debt came. They said, listen, this is not just a God that delivers you from the servitude of the Philistines or a physical sickness or all these different things, but he's also a God that will turn around an indebtedness, because he brought them out of Egypt and he healed them on the way out, and there was not one feeble one among them. Anybody see the Ten Commandments, the old Ten Commandments? And there's some stuff up here recently, and you see the old people, they got them in carts carrying them because they can't walk out of Egypt, and they're pulling a cart with the old folks in it. But my Bible said there was not one, when they left Egypt, there was not one feeble one among them. And that means somebody old as me didn't have to ride in no cart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody on a sick bed came out of that sick bed. They did more than put blood, by the way, on the doorpost. They were told to do more than just put the blood on the doorpost. They were told to eat the flesh of the lamb that was slain. And somewhere in that meal, there was a healing. There had to be, or they couldn't come out that way. When we receive communion, we don't just use the cup. We also use that that represents His broken body. And Jesus said something that shook them up. Many turned back and didn't follow Him. They scratched their heads. He said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you don't have any part in me. Can you say amen? So this participation, in not in just the communion elements, but in our spiritual relationship to and with Jesus. We don't want to miss that. It's important today. I'm 80 years old in January. I'm chasing Him. Thank the good Lord I'll never catch Him. I'm going to have to get used to 80 for about 5 years. Did you get used to, how long did it take you to get used to 80 when it's...
It took a good while. Well, I'm 88, it took a good while.
He said, I'm still working on it. Amen. How old are you?
Yeah.
Look at, oh man, look at that. See, if I had his hair, I'd have to pray about it. You talk about a woman's hat. I've never seen him with a hat. With hair like that, why would you put it under a hat? If he was MAGA, he wouldn't wear a MAGA hat just because of the hair. Whatever he is, amen. Said a woman's hair is her glory. I think you got some, hey. I think you got, who spends the most time in front of the mirror? All right. God is good today. All those that were in debt, they said, if this God can do that and that and that, He can help us with this. And He cares about this. Amen. Because whoever I'm indebted to, I'm in that culture, they had to go work out the debt if they couldn't pay the debt in full. And it could, every 7 years they had a year of Jubilee to let them go, but they could work up to 7 years for nothing working on repaying a debt. So in all practical purposes, they became a slave to the person they owed. And that's why He brought them out. They were healed, not one feeble one. He brought them out. Psalm 105, I believe. Read all the Psalms. You'll run across it. You know, that's homework. Listen, you'll run across it. He brought them out with silver and gold. Now, He's never put the premium and never wanted man to lean on silver and gold. But He knew if they're going to come out of Egypt and they're going to need supplies somewhere, He didn't want them to be in debt for it. He wanted none of His children to be bond slaves. Now the message of just get rich and get wealth, that message is so wrong. I don't have to tell you. If I have to tell you how wrong it is, you need to get saved and get in the Word. Because you may be back in both areas. But folks, He cares about what affects us and what causes us to be under burdens and to causes us not to be free mentally and spiritually to represent His kingdom and love Him and serve Him and get the real joy of His freedom that is offered us. I need some walls to come down. So I'm here to do some shouting today. Praise God. Hallelujah. They came out of Adullam, and David's mighty men of valor, they did things that only the Spirit of God could anoint them to do. And he told them, taught them through his life and through the word how to claim their covenant that they had with God. And they claimed it. Praise God. And those that were in debt came, because think about it this way. If somebody can get healed, if they can get delivered from the Philistines when they come to kill them, if God's Spirit will come on you to keep these sheep and slay a lion and slay a bear, whatever is the threat is, he will also help us with debt. Because we're going to be enslaved by that debt. I got two walls in that area that need to come down. So if anybody here gets rich and you want to knock that wall down, God may use you. I don't know how he's going to do, when he's going to do, what he's going to do, but I'm glad to be a Christian today with hope in my heart and help from the Lord. I don't know how he's going to, you know, it gets complicated. I went through nervous exhaustion. I turned everything over to everybody else. I just didn't think about nothing, because I wanted to preach the gospel, get my health back mentally, physically. I never quit preaching. And I was told to take a year off. That was the counseling I got. I went to counseling at a carpenter's home when they were doing well in the big 10,000-seat church. And the guy told me, take a year off. And I thought, okay. Number one, do I have God's permission to not preach for a year? No. People were coming to the Lord under a ministry during that time. Yeah. Do I have money to pay my debts? Well, I'll just sit back for a year and, you know, stand on my head and contemplate my navel, or whatever people do when they're trying to get zen or whatever it is. Amen. Don't worry, I cannot stand on my head. And I have no desire to see how much lint is in my navel. Lint gets in there, you realize that. It's so easy, isn't it? I thought, that's just what I needed to hear. Take a year off and heal up. As we would put it down here in the South, heal up and scab over. Amen. Well, even if I healed up and scabbed over, if I kept doing what I was doing, it'd keep tearing the scab off. I'd start bleeding again. I had to learn to lean on Jesus. I had to learn to give people to Christ. And I had to learn to give myself to Jesus. Hallelujah. And he's been doing a good job taking care of my son, Alan, that used to be so concerned about. He took care of that. Looking back on my life, he's taken care of all those things I was so worried and concerned about when I just said, Lord, this is yours. He's taken care of this ministry. There have been people try to discourage us, divide us. Lord knows we've had battles down through the years. But here we are today. What's Brother Venable doing now? Some lady that used to come to our church years ago, we helped her with everything with her life, from finances to physical problems to people who died in the family, baptized the children, dedicated grandkids. And when I heard that the church is split and the sheep are scattered, I thought, the church is not split, it's just not here anymore. Most of them are in heaven. I'm not looking for anybody that's in heaven. And if people haven't been coming regularly, they're not part of the church anyway. Church isn't split. We're here. Sheep aren't scattered. They're gathered. There's just a handful of them. My poor old Brother Venable preached all his life. Got a handful of people. Well, I've been faithful. Amen. And you're faithful because you're here today. And one of the reasons you're here, just like me, you need a turnaround in your life. Some of you may need healing. Aren't you glad you're in a church where the preacher represents healing? I don't mean bragging. I'm telling you, I'm 80 in January. God has been good to me. He's not been good to me because I'm a preacher. He's been good to me because I'm a child of the Lord. In fact, he's been good to me because I'm one of his sheep. Before I get to preach to you, I get the privilege and the honor of acknowledging the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. I shall not want. And he's taking care of that. And he's addressing that. And some of the walls in my life, the fact he's giving me this message for us, me included, there's some walls that are going to come down if we just keep believing and get to the place that we can praise him for the victory before we see it manifest. Faith praises God when it's released before the fact of the manifestation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith itself in God's faithfulness is the evidence of things we do not see. And that's why the Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. I have faith in my life that some walls of defiance are going to come down. And when they come down, the humble are going to see it. They're going to see what God done for your pastor. Amen. And they're going to be glad because they know God is no respecter of persons. However, he is a respecter of faith. For as your faith be, so be it unto you. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And it doesn't mean having heard. You go to church, you hear it, you wait a month, you go back, you may hear it again. That's not how it comes. It comes through repetition. It comes through hearing it over and over and over and over. I'm going to preach some things I have preached because we need it reiterated. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Desire. And that's what keeps people in church where the word is preached. That's what keeps them out of church. If you lose your desire for the word, then you have no reason to come and hear the word. Amen? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Amen? Spiritual growth. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now, I'm not going to lament all the people who don't have a desire, because if they keep living as the world lives, they're going to keep shifting their trust to the arm of flesh for every need in their life. And God will only become relevant when the arm of flesh fails them and they have nowhere else to turn. God loves you, but he will not play second fiddle. He will not be there for you to just pull him out like a rabbit out of a hat. Amen. When everything that you put your trust in and everyone you put your trust in fails. You may have a policy through, used to be a premier insurance company called Blue Cross and Blue Shield. It was expensive and it was one of the high end. They got a bunch of them out there now. Amen. But if you don't have the shield of faith, the devil's not afraid of your insurance company. And when the best doctor that you can hire and have it paid for comes out and said, this is stage 5, it's irreversible, and we can't do nothing about it. Get your house in order. What happens then? God. Suddenly the word, a promise, becomes highly relevant. And a person becomes even more relevant. Amen. And there are too many people in that trap. The reason mountains move is because it's not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to preach in just a moment. How many's got, once again, there's something in your life like I've buttoned my head against. I could shame you into believing today. I could say, just believe God. But that's me too. I have believed God. I have bound the devil. I have pled the blood. I've stood on the word. I've claimed the promise. And there's a wall right there. I'm my sixth time around. And I'm told I need to take another lap. I'm tired. It's hot. The wall is defying me. The people that's on the wall are saying, where's your God now? And he says, just keep walking. Walk around it one more time. Only this time when you walk around it, I want you to shout, for I have given you the city. Hallelujah. Glory. I heard a song that I used to jump up out of my chair, my electric chair. It's one that'll raise, and my wife got two. Amen. She got one when she had open heart. She got one when she had her shoulder fixed because the other one was kind of creaky, you know, it didn't work right. Amen. And, you know, it'll stand you up. I didn't need no chair to stand me up. In fact, shouting shoes, I don't think those are them. That my toes would get crimped in those today. Maybe I just take off my shoes when this ground is holy and I take them off. Listen, church, I'm getting ready to praise God for the victory that seems so too late. Listen, I'm going on 80. It looked like if God was going to do it, he'd done something already. Listen, you can't twist his arm, but you can hold his hand. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank God. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Glory to God. God has been good to me. Hallelujah. Praise God. All the prayers he's answered. You see, something is coming for us. God said, listen to this scripture. You'll recognize it. Lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knee. You can get so weary in praying. Asaph said, I couldn't pray. I have prayed out and nothing has changed and I can't pray anymore because I have no incentive to pray, because deep in my heart I know God is faithful, but nothing has happened and I'm too weary to pray. And he went on to say, when I rehearse all of your victories and all of your miracles, it makes it worse because it's not happening to me. Wow. But he kept on walking around one more lap. How many willing to go another lap in order for God to accomplish something in us? Now see, when it said, lift up the hands that hang down, if his hand were hanging down, we go to a brother or sister and we hold them up like Aaron and her. It's not addressed. That's not how we encourage them. In the context of that scripture, you read it sometime. If you can find it, just read the Bible. No, the New Testament, we're going to narrow it down, make it easy for you. You'll run across it. Lift up the hands that hang down. I thought about encouraging brothers and sisters. But it is, but not by lifting up their hands, but lifting up our hands. The humble shall see it. What God did for David, the crushed in life shall see it, and it will give them hope. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants me to come in like this. Don't pray for me. And I may come in. If I ever come in like that, remind me of this message. You sent one home one time. Amen. It was like, it looked like a first aid kit on the front of it with a big cross on it, red cross. And said, take this in case of emergency. And you know what was in it? A tape that I had ministered. that I said, I need that sermon sometimes myself. So he and that was back in the cassette days. And I look at people here today, you'd love to tell people from a personal experience, not just because of Bible scholarship, but from a personal experience of God's help in your life. When you get that, when answered prayer comes, I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. What were those things heretofore? You've asked the Father nothing in my name. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. Can you say amen? Until it's personal and we have a personal testimony of answered prayer and breakthroughs, we can't effectively communicate the faithfulness of God to a gainsaying world. Can you say amen? Lift up the hands that hang down. That's me. That's you. That's preachers in a pulpit. I deal with preachers now more than I've ever done because, you know, nobody wanted to affiliate with the Pentecostal preacher down in Silver Springs. It's not going to do your church any good to associate with me. Amen? It isn't. You could amen that. It's not derogatory. I'm kind of glad there's some people I don't want to hang out with, full of doubt and fear and false doctrine and buildings, budgets, and you know, just money. Listen carefully. If it wasn't for the Lord who was on our side, our enemy would have swallowed us up quickly. But thank God He was on our side. He's on your side. He's on my side. And He wants you to be a representation of what we're telling other people that He can do in their life. And if we don't become a representation, we're disingenuous. They read us. We're living epistles. Right. Written and read of all men. Your bumper sticker won't do it. You can put a cross big enough to, you know, a big cross around your neck. You can wear all the stuff. And I wear lapel pins, and I'm not against the cross. I love what the cross represents. But it's the Christ and our relationship to Him. Amen. Lift up the hands that hang down. Yeah. Get victory in your life before you try. What is? Cast a beam out of your own eye before you try to cast the mote. Everybody say, a speck of dust. Did you know when you start trying to get somebody else straightened out and you're not straightened out, you have a beam in your eye. You can't see your own need. But you see the speck of dust in their eye so clearly. I'll tell you, I've looked in a lot of people's eyes. I have never detected a speck of dust. I do not look that close. It would take a magnifying glass. But we have a way of magnifying other people's weaknesses and faults. Someone got cancer that it hadn't been in church recently, and a lady that came to our church, she just, you know, we blurt things out. Well, they should have stayed in church. Well, they should have stayed in church. But do you think God gave His child cancer because they didn't? No. You think He wanted to kill them? No. Afflict them? Hurt them? Harm them? And I can tell you that lady started having health problems. You see, I watch all of this. I'm 53 years into this. I watch people look for something when they're not themselves representative of the kingdom nor the king, nor that kind of faith or faithfulness. I watch them fall out of church. I watch them fall away from God. I watch them have physical issues that plague them all the way through their life and take them lower and lower into incapacitation. And I think, don't blurt out this stuff. Don't pass judgment. You can judge the fact that they should have stayed in church. I do that. But what happens to them is because of that. No wonder hands hang down and the knees get weary. Lift up the hands that hang down. strengthen the feeble knee, lest that be turned out of the way. Lest somebody look at us and say, there's nothing to prayer, there's nothing to the Bible, there's nothing to God, there's nothing to Christ. They can mouth it all day long, but they don't live it, and they don't represent it. He wants us to be prisoners of hope and an encouragement to people that are hurting. So He wants to turn it around in you. Turn it around. Something's going to happen. You say, Brother Venable, you're 80. You should just be taking your rocking chair and writing your memoirs. That's how you say memoirs? Memoirs. Memoirs. Writing my book on all my experiences. Listen, I was born at night, brother, but it wasn't last night. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've learned by watching others, and I've learned how well the Word works. Amen. Positively and negatively. But the Word, He watches over His Word to perform it. If He says you're going to reap what you sow, I would take real good look at what I'm sowing. Amen. Because God's going to see to it that we reap what we sow. You sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. You don't just reap in kind. It is multiplied. I love to sow mercy. You know why? Because I need it. And if I've sown it, it's going to be there for me. God's going to grant it to me. Oh, you want a scripture? Thank you. We got a few moments left. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What about those who don't judge what's right or what's wrong, but judge the person when you say they got cancer because God gave them cancer because they didn't stay in church life? I didn't mean backslid. They just didn't show up in the meetings. So they deserve cancer. Be careful. Be careful. That person who said that is alive today, but they're sick today, and they've been sick for years. They need mercy, but they didn't sow any. And the law of sowing and reaping is in effect. You can't even get grace without receiving mercy first. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might receive mercy and grace to help in the time of any need. Doesn't start with just God's just granting grace. No, God is merciful. And that's why blind Bartimaeus, knowing all the power and anointing of Jesus, says, Son of David, I know you're anointed. Son of David, I know you're a healer, and I have faith in the power and the anointing on you. Heal me. What did he say? Does anybody know what he said? The focus of his faith. Does anybody know what blind Bartimaeus said? He could have went to a faith seminar, built his faith higher than the sky. Amen. And he would have put that faith in just the power of God instead of the person that has to release it. Son of David, have mercy on me. And they're crowding him for the anointing to touch them. They want to touch him and him to touch them. And there's a man hollering, and they said, tell him to be quiet. You trouble the master. Son of David, he called louder, have mercy on me. And Jesus, with the apostles with him, is walking by. He stopped dead in his tracks. And he said, bring that man to me. Oh, they're all over, their knees all over. But that man has appealed to my unchanging character of love and mercy. Amen. Bring that man to me. He knows something about my heart and how it's immediately touched when someone pleads for mercy. And by grace, like you're saved, by grace he healed him. But he had to obtain mercy to obtain the grace to help and be healed. And so many people are unmerciful, just trying to build their faith to get the need met. But this is a heart matter. And I watch people shipwreck who can quote the scripture better than me. And that's saying something.
Amen.
Because I live in the Bible. Somebody called me a walking Bible. And I don't always get it perfect. But it's scriptural. It's not what I believe. It's not what God showed me in the vision. He showed me in the Word. Hallelujah. God wants to turn something around for somebody here today. If you've been unmerciful, there's an opportunity right now to humble yourself before God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lift up those hands that hang down and the feeble knee. And others are going to see what God has done for you. And they're going to come to you. They're going to be drawn to me. We might have a church in the cave. One day we have somewhere where we meet, and we might just call the church, the Church of the Cave of Adullam. And people say, what denomination is that? We're Adullams. Not Abdul, amen, one of the fellows over there. This is Adullam. This is a cave where David hid, and people came to hear what God had done for him because they saw what God did for him when God lifted him from the miry clay, put his feet on the rock, and put a song in his heart, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. People said, I want to know how to relate to that wonderful God that he serves and how to receive from him. Amen? So it's us he wants to lift up. And us he wants to draw out of discouragement. Amen. Mean old sheepdog getting personal today. No amens. What did I have marked? Here we are. Let's get some scripture before we have a song. Psalm 126, a song of degrees. When the Lord, not if, but when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. It was so real. It was almost surreal to them. We've been in Egypt so long. We've been in Babylon so long. Years have come. Decades have come and gone. But a day came when God said, it's the season, it's the time for this thing to turn around. And I'm the God who is able and willing to turn it around. And when God turned again, everybody say, turn around, do a little swizzle. Turn around. Glory to God. When God turned around, when he restored and recovered them, amen, from that they were in, locked in, praise God. When God turned again the captivity of Zion, everybody say, too good to be true. And yet it was. We were as them that dream. This is a wonderful dream, but this can't be reality. Not what I'm up against, what I am facing. You don't limit God. Hallelujah. I'm shouting before the fact today. Brother Venable, what's changed in your life? It's not just some things have. My son has changed. He grabbed a hold of me with tears in his eyes. Daddy, thank you for thank you for all that you've done for me. You do everything for me. I know you're tired sometimes and you do these things, and that's a blessing. But you know what the great blessing is? When he recognizes and praises God, hallelujah, thank you for raising me. Thank mom and you for raising me in a Christian home. It means more to me than anything you could give me, any gift, anything that you've ever given me. He has an appreciation for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Took him 53 years to get a hold of that, but he's got a hold of it, praise God. And the Spirit of the Lord came on him while he was testifying and hugging me. He said, Daddy, I got up, because he's always complaining about getting older. He said, Dad, he's 53. He said, did you ever get up and right back here? He has to show me right back here, right here in the hamstring. Dad, did you ever get up and right here? Must be somehow asleep. You ever get a pain like you? How many people are under 50? Oh, my Lord. Just a little preview of what's coming. How many are over 50? You know what I'm talking about. Amen. Just wait. Anywho. But he said something. He said, Dad. He said, while I was hugging you, all that pain went out of me. I thought, glory to God, come get some. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, we were extolling the Lord. We were magnifying the Lord. We were giving God praise and glory just for salvation itself. Yeah. Praise God. We didn't need anything else. Hallelujah. When the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Ha 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 ho. Hallelujah. And our tongue with singing. Listen, then they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You can't sell it to the world without something happening in us. So it's to us initially. Lift up your hands that hang down. Yeah. Deal with discouragement in your life. Get your hope back. Get your joy back. Get your song back. Praise Amen. God. Amen. Preacher told the story of a parakeet that a lady in his church had. Said he could whistle 5 different tunes, like, you know, that he had learned. His name was Chippy, and he could sing by whistling tunes that he had learned. Had him for a long time. It said one day she was vacuuming out his cage with a, you know how you take the end off and got that little thing and vacuum the seed out of the bottom of his cage, but she had lost that little thing that goes down in. She's using the open hose. And Chippy jumped down when she started to vacuum, and he got sucked into the vacuum cleaner that had a bag back in those days, you know, full of junk and dust and stuff. Chippy got sucked in, into the bag. She took the bag off, run to the kitchen, shook it over the garbage can. Chippy and all that dust fell out. And he can't hardly breathe, so she picked him up, ran over to the sink, turned the faucet on full blast, and until got all the stuff off a Chippy. And she told her pastor. Said, is he all right? She said, oh yeah, he lived through it. It's like it never happened. There's only one problem. Chippy don't sing no more. If that's what happens, I know. He ain't got no reason. He said, if I sing that's going to happen, I'm not whistling another tune. There's a lot of people, amen, that have lost their joy. They've lost their song of joy. Their tongue is not filled with laughter. Their mouth is not full with praise for the Lord. Amen, because we've been sucked up, flooded out. Amen. And we've been through the mill. And God said, look at him. If you're in the South, look at him. Amen. Look what I did and what I will do. Don't give up on me. Take another lap around that city. That wall will fall. That wall will fall. But I want you to praise me. Amen. I want you to thank me. I want you to lift up those hands that are hanging down. You're waiting for for the wall to fall, you would have never saw Jericho come down, because you had to shout because of what he told you, not what you saw, not what you felt, not what the circumstances dictated. Praise God. I don't even see a crack in my wall, but I know it's coming down. Thank you. Oh, that's just, give the Lord that. I know it's, how do you know, Brother Venable? Because faith is substance in my heart to what I'm hoping for. It's real to me before the fact. And when it changes, I'm going to say, I told you so. It's up to you and me to shake ourselves and to say, I'm going to pray again. I have prayed, nothing's happened. I've prayed. Perseverance in prayer pays dividends. Praise God, it pays dividends. I prayed for decades for my son to come to Christ. He never came through all those decades. But when he came all the way. Hallelujah. Left here with a fantastic testimony of the grace and mercy of God. Amen. And it was worth it. My son's salvation was worth my aggravation. My son's salvation was worth my intervention in prayer. My son's salvation was worth me hanging. You know people that have prayed. You told me about them. You used to attend our church. And when nothing happens, God is being blamed. And we got all of these questions. And listen, we need to get a hold of the absolute truth of God's faithfulness so that we quit walking by sight and by feeling and by emotion. But we walk by faith. Hallelujah. Pure, unadulterated. I believe the Word of God is true. The whole world will pass away, but the Word is going to stand, and I'm standing on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about to get happy. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen when that happens? People are going to see it. People are going to see it. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, tongue with song, with singing. And they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, wherefore we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord. As the streams in the south, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Listen, weeping lasts for a night. I have wept over my son. I've wept over church members that have backslid. I wept over some of you when you drifted away. But when I see you come back in and be established, amen, I have joy in my heart. Joy comes in the morning. And morning is not just about timing. It's when the Son of Righteousness arises in our heart with healing in His wings. And when we see answered prayer and lives changed, glory to God. Hallelujah. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I have a promise. It breaks my heart that there's not a church full of people to hear a message that could set so many free and bring so many to salvation. But I'm weeping, but I'm bearing precious seed. And I got a promise about this seed. Would you like to hear it? Thank you. I got to hurry because time is passing. My word shall not return unto me void. Like the rain that comes down out of heaven and the snow that watereth the earth and causes it to bring forth and to bud. Everybody say cause and effect. Glory to God. So shall the word be that goes forth out of my mouth. This is His mouth today. Just as sure as He's standing here speaking to us. Amen. Because it's God breathed. It's inspired by God. The actual Greek said God breathed. Just like He breathed life into clay and He became a living soul called Adam. He's breathed the same life into the Word. And old dead faith can get new life. Amen. Breathed into it. Wow. didn't know there was so much. I heard flies buzzing. I wondered what they were buzzing about. Something dead that he's raising and resurrecting. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. They'll see it and they'll be glad. Psalm 30 and verses, let's start with 10, just a couple of verses. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, Thou art my helper. Thou hast turned, there it is. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. How's that for a good deal? And hast put off my sackcloth. Why did they put on sackcloth? Because they were so discouraged, they covered themselves with ashes on their head and sat with sackcloth to show the mourning. But listen, He turned my mourning into dancing and has put off my sackcloth. Hallelujah. Don't you think it's time as Christians, if we serve a God as great and as good as He is, that we put off our attitude of discouragement? That is spiritual sackcloth this morning. If you're discouraged, if I'm discouraged, make no mistake about it. The world sees us sitting in our sackcloth. Amen. We need to put off. Oh, wait till the next scripture. There's only one more, but it's shouting ground. Amen. He's turned for me my mourning into dancing. And thou hast put off my sackcloth, my discouragement, hopelessness, and girded me with gladness. Amen. He didn't just put something off me. He put something on me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Serve the Lord with sadness, all you lands. People need to know how good your God is. Serve Him with sadness. No, serve Him with gladness. Amen. To the end that my glory may sing praise unto Thee. And not be silent. Oh, Lord my God, I will give thanks to Thee forever. You ready for the third one? It's a doozy. Everybody say a doozy. In fact, it's a double doozy. Have you ever been to the mall when they sold cookies, chocolate chip cookies, and they put cream in the middle of two chocolate chips? Vanilla cream between two chocolate chips. Guess what that was called? And you smell that bacon. And you know what they called it? A double doozy. And how many times did Pam say, when I went to the mall without her, did you bring back a double doozy? She didn't run and hug me and say, I'm so glad you run the interstate and all that traffic and got home safe. Did you bring me a double doozy? Amen.
I'm about to get her a double doozy.
You're going to get her a you're about to give her a double doozy. Whoa. Everybody say, roll eyes, roll eyes. Oh, I'm your double doozy man. I ought to write a song about that. Honey, it's time to quit singing the blues around here. Come on, well, here it is. Here's the church. I'm tired. I am too. And so weary. I am too. Yeah. But I'm not going to stay that way.
Right.
I'm tired. And so weary. But I must go on. I can't turn back. There's nothing back there. I guess I'm just going to keep on serving God. Don't go back to Egypt. Keep on. There's a promised land. And it's not when you get to heaven. It's when the kingdom comes within you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For it's not meat and drink, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Until I reach the end of the way. Poor old thing, poor old thing. Lift up the hands that... You see this? Lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knee. Someone needs to know what God can do in their life. And they need to see it happening in our life.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I was healed of leukemia. That testimony has inspired so many people in over 50 years of sharing it. Because what it's saying is God still honors faith today. He honors the anointing oil put on the forehead today. The Lord still the prayer of faith still saves the sick because God is faithful to the sick. Thank God I would have been dead and gone in a lot of churches then and now that believe when the last apostle died, the miracles are over. I like J. Vernon McGee's systematic Bible study, but he don't know nothing about the power and the anointing and the Holy Spirit. And I had a preacher tell me recently, he said J. Vernon McGee said he would give $1 million to anyone who could verify to him satisfactorily that any miracle has occurred as a result of prayer. Now, number one, I don't think J. Vernon was that rich. But I wish I had the paperwork. I'd take every dime he's got. Are you hearing me? Because I am a walking, talking, living. I was supposed to die before I was 9 years old. Amen. But I'm... Oh, somebody out online here. Did you make it, Brother Venable? Did you pull through? Not only did I pull through, glory be to God, had a stroke, God healed me and raised me up. You guys come and prayed for me. Amen. Hallelujah. I give prayer and God the credit. Amen. God is good today. Do I represent Him okay down through these years? How many times have I come in here? You see me when I'm hurt. I'm disappointed. Amen. But I don't stay discouraged. I wasn't happy last week, but I gave that to God this week. And I said, Lord, I want to thank you for everybody that comes in. I'm not going to look at who ain't here, but thank you for who is here. And I'm going to thank God for a man that is going to take this little bit, this little poor boy's lunch today. And he's going to make it look so sumptuous. You ever been to our website on Facebook or anywhere? Amen. He's going to make people hungry for the Word. And He's going to get the Word up there. If they got a heart for it, they're going to grab a hold of it. Praise God. Amen. I had a man tell me the other day, people don't have time. I thought, if it keeps going the way it's going, people are going to find out the government cannot take care of them. They're going to find out there's not a physician that can heal if another plague comes. If God takes His hand of covering off this nation and this people, and come on, how quick we forget if another one comes and it starts that chain reaction. And do you know there are nations that are trying to build bacterial weapons to use just to turn loose? Listen, if we don't turn to God on our own, I fear for the future. Amen. I really fear, and I fear for Christians who have never made God their covering. Amen. Who keep shifting their faith to the arm of flesh. God uses people, but He doesn't want you to put your trust in the people He uses, but in the God who is delivering you. So when they fail and they falter, you still have Him. And you'll find out if you have Him, you really don't even need them. Hallelujah. They can be a messenger to deliver what He wants for you, but that's as far as they can go. But there's no limit to what God can do. Walls fall down. When God says it's time for a turnaround. Peter's in jail. They're so afraid that he's going to bust out, or they're going to bust him out. They put him in the inner prison. They could put him in a jail in the jail. What? One man said, I was so mean before I got saved, I kept breaking laws in prison. They put me in solitary confinement. They put me in jail, in the jail. I spent a year, he said, of my sentence in solitary, in a jail, in the jail. There was an inner place in that jail. more secure than anywhere else. No one could get to it, and no one ever got out of it. And that's where they put Peter. And they put him, handcuffed him, if you please, in modern language, to two guards. They're in there with him.
Four quadrants of soldiers. This is 16.
I'm sorry?
Four quadrants of soldiers are there with him.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
It gets better. Four quadrants of soldiers.
16.
That means, oh my Lord, how did I miss that? Brother, you got to stay here. Lord, do not take him anywhere. Isn't four quadrants better than two guys? 16 soldiers in the innermost part of the jail. What are they afraid of? There's a God in Israel. There's a mighty king. They were not afraid of the people praying for him without faith, because they didn't believe it when he knocked on the door. What they were afraid of, the God they were talking to. Wow! 16 soldiers. There's no way out of here until God turned it around.
The angel came in and smote him on the side.
The angel come in and, oh, listen to the peace he had. Peter was asleep. They're going to kill him the next day, probably. And he said, if I live unto the Lord, die unto the Lord. Whether I live, I die. Christ, he didn't coin that, but that's true. He's got perfect peace. But he's not looking to get out of the pickle he's in. But he's got peace in the pickle. But God said, I want to do more than give you peace in the pickle jar. Can you say, man, I want to get you out of here and give it a testimony. Some people were martyred, but he said some people were delivered. And it's all to how God chooses to give us the peace and the power we need to bring glory and honor to His name. Hallelujah. Whether He do or whether He don't, we're not bowing to your God. Three Hebrew children. Praise God. Well, He did. But they said, He don't have to. We're so committed to Him. You can throw us in there. That's as far as you can go. But He's God, and it's within His power to make the choice to deliver us from, or deliver us through, or after. Listen, so Peter's sleeping. Angel comes in, sent from God to set him free, and he had to wake him up.
Smote him on the side, and his chains fell off.
Oh, I like that. Say that again.
He smote him on the side, and his chains fell off.
He smote him. He woke him up.
Uh-huh.
He woke him up. Come on, church. I know you're tired and sleepy and weary and beat up and beleaguered and beat down and discouraged, but you're not disqualified. Because if you're beat up, beleaguered, beat down, and discouraged, you're still a child of the Most High King, and He never slumbers and He never sleeps, and He keeps Israel physical, geographical, and spiritually today. Hallelujah! When He smote him and woke him up, whoa! The chains fell off.
Yeah.
Oh! But he's in the inner prison.
Yeah.
What about the guards? What happened to them? He either put them in a deep sleep, or when the glory of God come in that place and it shook them. And if they saw the angel that came, when Daniel saw Gabriel, Gabriel, when he saw Michael, Gabriel, when he saw the angel, amen, he said his knees smote one against the other. And he didn't do a dado either, amen, out of fear. Fell on his face as a dead man, till the angel picked him up and said, don't be afraid. I'm here as a messenger of God. I got a message for you. Well, I'm here to deliver you, the angel said. And Peter, what did it say? Peter thought he was having a vision or a dream. Remember when he turned the captivity, we were as them that dream. This must be a vision. I love it. I hope I never wake up. And the angel now that, come on, he just said he thought he saw a vision. Oh, that's wonderful. Ain't helping me none right now, but it's wonderful. I'm still in here. Those dudes going to wake up. I'm still in the inner prison. And the angel says, come on, come on. And he said, okay, this is a good dream. Seems so real. But he's going on. And the doors spring open to the inner prison, and the doors spring open to the outer prison. And Peter thought he was dreaming or seeing a vision until he stepped out of the prison altogether and the angel disappeared. And he realized a quadrant, four quadrant, four times four is 16 soldiers are scratching their heads and saying, now we know why they assigned all of us to watch a man in chains in the inner prison. And the devil says, you ain't getting him out of here. And God says, just watch me. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Don't make me take my shoes off and run. Amen. Hallelujah. Just watch me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. It's never even entered into the wildest dreams in the heart of man. Hallelujah. What God is able to do for them that put their trust in Him. Amen. He is able and willing to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we think or ask. I went through I went by a little building, and I thought that little building would be just right for us. And the Lord said, that would be just right for you. Yep. That little building would do you just fine. It's not much bigger than the building you're in, but it'd be yours, and we don't have to break it up and take down. And everybody said, amen and amen and amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Y'all had put it back together. And I started knocking on my dash, you know, that would be good, a building like that, because then I see anything we could get into. And I saw in the distance a church that they want $8 million for. I priced it. You say, Brother Venable, you crazy man. Well, I had to find out how much it was. I mean, I didn't try to put in a bid for it. I just curious. $8 million. And I saw that steeple up. And I thought, Lord, I want your will. I don't care about prestige. I don't care about proving anything to anybody. I'm healed and I'm happy. And no matter what anybody else has got, that makes me head and shoulders, short as I am, above a whole lot of church-going people and people with dividends and people with stocks and bonds and money. I'm happier than they are. Hallelujah. He wished not that it had happened and become real, until he realized this is real. This is no vision. Right. This is no dream. Right. Hallelujah. And the church is praying for God to deliver him, but nobody's looking for him to be set free. Right. So he goes to where the church is gathered. They're all in intercession, and commendable. That kind of prayer set him free, I believe. But they were not looking for God to pull this off. They put the limit on him because he knocks on the door. He wants to come in and tell them what God has done. And they're too busy praying for his deliverance to even consider that it could be him, that God could turn that around that completely and powerfully and personally through an angel. And a little maid went to the door, peeked outside to see who it was. And it was not the Avon lady. It was Simon Peter, out of prison, set free. And she said, Peter's here. And they said, you must be mad. You've lost your marbles. The cheese has fallen off your cracker. You've got a happy meal. You're two French fries short of a happy meal. Can you say amen? How hard? Why do we keep doubting? Why do we keep doubting a God of the impossible, the improbable, not ruled by science and circumstance? Hallelujah. Amen. I preached way too long. It's time to go. We haven't even scratched the surface. It'll always be time to go. But there are people sick that need a miracle. They're not going to get it through a brush you in and herd you out. They're not going to get it till they get hungry for God's word enough to hear it long enough for faith to grow strong enough that we will believe God in spite of brick walls. I used to make a Bible study on Wednesday. I do not anymore, because no one has 30 minutes of their busyness. I'm not putting you down. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm saying this is a day when people just don't have time, nor will they take time for what you're getting right here today. They're not going to take the time. It's not worth it. The Word of God is not valued that much to encroach on my busy schedule. I work hard all week. I may hit church when I feel like it, but I deserve recreation. You're not going to have recreation by having recreation spiritually. We need a revival. Amen. We need our hands lifted up. We need our knees. We need a steady, stalwart walk in the Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen. Because we cannot convince a gainsaying world or be an encouragement to other Christians who are satisfied with a sermonette for Christianettes that never grow out of a spiritual bassinet. And so the preacher gives them a pacifier on Sunday morning, and they suck it and suck it all week long. But they're dying of spiritual malnutrition. But when somebody's hungry, that ain't enough. A day come when my son spit out the pacifier. Started looking at my plate. Teeth were coming in. And he thought, boy, whatever that is, it do smell good. And I'm getting nothing out of this thing. I remember his first French fry. He tried to swallow it without chewing it. He got stuck in his throat. I grabbed him up by the heels and smacked him on the back, and that French fry fell out on the floor. And I said, you can't eat the whole thing, son. You can't get this in one service. Amen. You're going to chew on this. But if you'll chew on it and you'll swallow it, it'll be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Hallelujah. Oh, that last scripture before we leave. It's not a long one. It's worth your time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 61, Jesus read this when he began his public ministry. I mean, Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound. Thank God. Peter says, amen. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified by a church that isn't moved, that takes their stand and praises Him and lives for Him and loves Him and serves Him. Hallelujah. Wake up! Hallelujah. Time to go home and lay down.
God, hallelujah.
My grandson and granddaughter. They had one controller, back then a Nintendo, and one game, Mario's Kart or some nonsense, and they're playing, and she's waiting her turn, and he hadn't crashed out. And he's good at it. She's getting impatient. And Ashley said, Robbie, it's my turn. When can I have a turn? When are you going to let me play? He said, when I'm dead. He didn't mean my mama. She laughed about that till the day she died. She thought he wasn't going to give up that controller and that game for nothing. That until he breathed out his last breath. Amen. Reminded me of some guys in church. I'll give up my remote when they pry it from my cold, dead fingers. When I'm dead. I don't want to die. I'd rather die with my Bible in my hand. Anyway, if I knew it was coming, I certainly... Anyway, I use a remote, but I don't stay on the boob tube or the talking heads. When he turns the captivity, when he turns everything around, it happens by his Spirit, and it doesn't matter the circumstance or how long we've waited. In his timing, in that season, it has to be a season for us. Amen. And for me. I can't hear this message preached just anywhere in context. Amen. So I have to bring it. But I want you to know I'm listening to it this morning. Amen. Because the things in my life, I'm claiming by faith that God is faithful. And if I will hang on and lift up the hands that hang down and let my hope flourish. Hope, biblically defined, amen, is the glad anticipation of future good. That means we get glad before the good even comes. Because this hope is not an empty hope. It's hope in Him. Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy today. You're stuck here till I'm done. But I have mercy on you. We're about ready to stop today. But if I just bring you a sermonette so you can go home and take a nap and spiritually go right back to sleep, one day you're going to need a miracle. One day you're going to need a miracle, and some of your crazy church buddies are going to need a miracle. They're in, they're out, they're at the restaurant, and they're home right now, scratching their head. Why do you go down there to that little old church and listen to that old man preach for an hour and a half? Tell them, because that old man is healed, and that old man is happy, and that old man doesn't act like he's an old man. And there's a lot of people half my age that don't have what I've got in my heart right now. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Amen. There's a whole lot of people, not near old. I can't imagine. We'll have to wheel them in on a gurney in 10 more years. Because we don't place a premium on the instructions in the Word of how to have a turnaround in our life. And we're stuck in an endless cycle that keeps wearing us down. Our hands are hanging down when we go to church. We lift them up for a little while the praise team is emotionally triggering us to lift them up. You know what I'm saying? And we walk out into life, and the same things that we walked in with, we walk out with. And you meet them on a Tuesday, 48 hours have passed, and those hands that were emoting without real victory are hanging right back down. Lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knee. God wants to turn it around because He wants some honor and some praise in your life and in mine. I, for one, want to see that He gets it. So I say, Lord, don't let my enemies triumph over me, not just for my sake, but for Your own name's sake, because I bear the name of a mighty King. Can you say, man, I represent a kingdom and a King. that is not of this world. And Lord, help me to be a witness to my brothers and sisters that hurt, that get cast down, that go through trials and tests, that cause their hands to hang down. Help me to be an example and an encouragement. Lift me up so that I can be an example to the flock. Hallelujah. Am I doing okay? Have I been doing okay? Have I been in this pulpit Sunday after Sunday? Has Pamela ever called and said, Brother Venable's going through a heavy trial. Y'all better pray. He's in there crying right now. Oh, we need prayer. No, you've never done that because I have a faithful God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to shout. We got to go home. I realize that. Right here.